Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that your word is instructions for our lives, that your word is food indeed. God, I pray for the feast that you set before us, God, that I wouldn't mess it up at all, but your spirit would. I just have this vision right now of your spirit just taking little parts of it and put it in people's hearts and put it in people's brains and nourishing their spirits with it. Please, God, may your word change us. We need your change. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Look at the first word in the first verse of the fifth chapter. It says, therefore. Therefore. And wherever you see that word, therefore, you got to ask yourself that ultimate question is, what does that mean? Why is it saying therefore? Why? What is it about this that I missed? So you can go back over the next couple of days and read Ephesians 4 and find out what that is there for. But for today, it is there for this reason. When you first come to the Lord, if you're like me and you are a brand plucked from the fire, your life is a bloody mess. You don't know what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And you're looking for instruction. And the first place you find instruction is in the people you're surrounded with at church. Depending on the church you go to, of course. And then this crazy thing happens in about a year. You're asking yourself, was this real? Am I just doing what I'm seeing other people do? Because I've started to notice that other people have this thing we call humanity. You've seen me say or do some things that you're questioning. You've seen some people who you respected and trusted, people who you thought were smiling, you found out that they have problems in their marriage or the kids might be misbehaved, and you're wondering to yourself, wait, is this supposed to be like this? That's the question. And we all ask that question ourselves eventually. The book of Ephesians, the first three and a half chapters, were a lot of doctrine. Now, if you're new to Bible terminology, doctrine means teaching. What you know, why you know it. What you do and why you do it. But now, he kind of, I don't want to say goes in reverse, but he kind of stays on a trajectory of beginning information. Now, I'm going to make sense in a second. Stay with me. If you've gotten saved, and if you don't know what that word saved means, let me explain to you. You were invited to church because somebody looked at you and said, what a freaking mess you are. You need God. So you came to church, and you heard this Bible get preached, this, whether it's myself or some other preacher, tell you about Jesus, who I call the Lord Jesus. I'm not on that chummy plane with the Lord. I don't have a problem with people who are. I'm just not. He's kind of like my drill sergeant, my general, and the lover of my soul all wrapped up in one. It's how I learn. That's how I've compartmentalized Christ. And you felt something. You knew you needed something. The word was going forward, or the worship was being played, or the prayers were being lifted up, and you gave it a shot. You went, okay, I'll take it. And you put it in your heart. And now you went back to your life, and you really don't know how to live. You really don't. What do I do and what do I don't do? I don't know anymore. And what really complicates issues, in case you don't know this, something called conviction. It's like when I got saved, guys, some of y'all might know, it was just, oh my goodness, the stuff I was right in the middle of. I mean, think about a barbecue and one of those coals that are right in the center that's all red hot and fiery. That's supposed to be cold. So God just took that little thing out and he threw it off to the side. And on its way to being cold, it went through a lot of stages. It took a few years. Okay, Rocky, I got it. And you're wondering now, what are you supposed to do with this thing? So you start to look at the people around you, and you wonder if that's where we're supposed to do it. You start to look at the, maybe it's, you know, I heard like Chris Pratt's a Christian, you know what I mean? Maybe I should act like him. You know, and I see the movies he does. Well, I heard that, what's the guy's name, the old black dude that makes that plays God all the time? Morgan Freeman. I heard Morgan Freeman's a Christian, so maybe I should act like him. Or you know, I look on TV and I see these big shot Christians. That must be Christianity because they're popular. I mean, a lot of people go to Joel Osteen's church. A lot of people go to Osteen's church. So, of course, that must be God, because if it's God, it's big. Or we could just read Ephesians chapter 5 and find out exactly how this works. Now, I will give you a little caveat before you guys start leaving, because it's going to be about 10 minutes you guys are going to start leaving. We will not be covering marriage today. But I'm going to tell you, the next 4 weeks after today, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wife. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You are going to hate my guts. We all need it, but not everybody wants it. She's clapping for hating my guts. Yay! I already hate your guts. It's okay. I know. I'm just teasing. I want you to be forewarned and forearmed. If you decide to come to church for the next 4 weeks, we're digging deep and we're hitting hard. We're going for knockout blows. We're going to do some serious spiritual jiu-jitsu. However, today, it's for you young brothers and sisters. It's for you people who I've just described, okay, what do I do now? Because I've heard how Christians behave. I mean, goodness sakes, if you were in my family and you watched me and my wife and you realized that's Christianity, you might be disappointed. Until you pass that 10 or 15 year mark, then you're not going to be disappointed at all. I always tell the story. My daughter Elena, she used to say, I'm not going to have a relationship like you and Mom. And I go, oh, I see. And who are you going to have a relationship with? And I'm not going to name any names because some of y'all in here. And then we'd let her stay with them for a few days. So they'd go out to eat with them. They'd hang out with them. They'd socialize with them, and then she'd come back and go, yeah, I don't have a relationship with them either. Well, now Elena and Austin have passed that 10-year mark, and they still don't want a relationship like me and my wife, but they realize it's not near as bad as they thought. You know why? We got 30 years together. And when you could brag about something like that, you're doing something right. Not everything, but something, right? Christianity 101, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. You could circle that word, imitators. Now again, if you are new to church, if you are new to scripture, listen, writing in your Bible is not just allowed, it's mandatory. The sign of a well-marked heart is a well-marked Bible. Come to church with a pad and a pen, with a Bible that has nice big letters and center column references, because that's what Christians do. We believe as Christians, new believers, that this book is our manual. If you've ever bought a new vehicle, if you buy a new truck and it comes with this big manual, and the manuals are nice and fancy, and if you're like me, you take them and you put it in a glove box and you tell yourself, someday I'm going to read that. And then about the fifth or sixth year, and you go to sell it, and you go, man, I promised myself I was going to read that manual this time, and I never did. That's not how this works. This manual, you got to read. If you don't, you're just not going to get enough out of it, man. You're not going to know how to turn the lights on. You know what I'm saying? So, that word imitators, in verse 1 of chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, it means followers. You follow to imitate God as dear children and walk in, verse 2, love. You see that word for love? Here's probably the biggest lesson you'll learn, one of the first lessons, one of the most important lessons, new believers, you will learn. The word love in the Bible is a terrible word, meaning it's not rendered well. I have here in my hand the 6 Greek words that mean love. All of them are translated love in the New King James and the NIV. Sometimes it's translated charity, sometimes in the King James. But the word love in Greek has 6 different words that represent it. Let me read them to you. The first is men's favorite. It's eros, which means an erotic love. It's a sexual love between two people. The second is phileia, or phileo, depending on your a man or a woman. It is a friendship love. It's the love that me and my brother Matt have. It's a jujitsu love. It's a love when somebody that outweighs you and outmuscles you is on top of you, has his hands wrapped around your neck. He's trying to strangle the life out of you. Sweat is pouring off of his brow into your eye socket. And you could do nothing more than smile. And you break the grip and you roll on top. And now you look at him and, that was a good joke. You almost killed me. That's phileo. Then there's storge. Storge is a familial, a family love. It's when I tell my son or my beautiful daughters or my amazing granddaughter, I love you, I love you. I love you. How are you too, Bob Bob? If I will give her something she wants, I will hear that. There is ludus, L-U-D-U-S. It's a playful love. It's a love ya. You ever do that? Isn't that weird when you send a text to somebody? If somebody sends you a text, I love you, and it's somebody you like, ooh, that was weird. And instead of writing, I love you, you write, love ya, L-U-V, because it's just a little weird to write L-O-V-E. I don't really know you that well. I love ya. Love you too. Love you too, weirdo. There is the word mania in Greek, mania, which is where we get our obsession. Not all these words are positive. It's a maniacal love. It's an obsessed love. It's a love that, say, a jilted lover might have. You have an ex that you have not let go of this light for. It's kind of a weird thing we do in the church. We refuse to get divorced because divorce be bad. Yes, divorce is bad. It's very bad. But divorce is allowed. If your husband has cheated on you, does not love God, and has told you he doesn't want to be married anymore to you, you are not obligated to stay with that person. You do know that, don't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says specifically that. Sister, brother, if you're with somebody that doesn't love God and they don't want to be with you anymore, let them go. That's torture for you. And God has not called you to torture. Yeah, but they do say they love God and they want to stay married. You're stuck. No, but you don't understand. I don't like them that much. That doesn't matter. One of the reasons for getting divorced is not I don't like her. She cooked dinner. I didn't like it. We're laughing at that, but that was one of the reasons why the Pharisees or the Jews in old times would get rid of their wives, and that's why the Lord got so frustrated with them. And we seem to take it the other way. And we tell people, no, you stay married. You don't leave your husband no matter what. That's not the way it works. You have very specific reasons why the Lord Jesus himself gave you. However, continuing, don't be maniacal lover. Pragma, which is an enduring love. It might not be the sweetest of loves, but it's a love that lasts. I have some friends in my life, the guy that led me to the Lord. We don't talk each other that much. Sometimes years go by. But every time we see each other, my dog, what's up, bro? How you been? Good. How's it going? Good, man. How's the second marriage? All right, man. How's the third marriage? Good, man. It's just an enduring love. It's man, you know, I don't know why I like these guys so much. My wife's like, why do you hate? I don't know. I just, something about them. It's that enduring love. And there's philautia. Philautia, which is an obsessive love for oneself. It's selfishness. I love me. No. Gerald, my brother. I love me. It's somebody who takes care of themselves above everything else. It's a selfish, terrible love. Now, again, we're looking at the Greek words that mean love. And then there's this word that's in front of us. It's not in ancient Greek koine. It's only in biblical Greek. It is the word agape. Here, the word says in verse 2, and walk in agape. Here's what God wants you to do with your life pertaining to other Christians and yourself. Agape. For God agaped the world so much that he gave his only son. Now, did the world want the Lord Jesus? No. But did the world need the Lord Jesus? When you love your child, like I love my granddaughter, like my wife loves our granddaughter, and she walks in the house and she goes, Robbie Pop, Robbie Pop, Ray Ray, I want Robbie Pop. She gets a little obsessive, my granddaughter. She gets it quite honestly from her father. And my wife, in her sickness, has got this little tree. It's a little wooden thing on a platform, and it has holes in it, and she sticks dum-dums and sucker pops all in it. So it's like a tractor beam. Light pop!
No, no, no.
Light pop! So she puts it now, my wife, when the kid comes over, she puts it in the pantry, forgets most of the time. And my daughter comes over, she says, why does she have two lollipops in her hands? She wanted one, so I gave her two. Because that's what grandparents do. But that's not agape love. That's mania love. If you love your brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you love yourself in the Lord, if you agape them, you will give them what they need with the right heart. You know what you really need? You really need a beating, so I'm going to agape you. No, 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 no. It's a loving, tender, never-ending, unconditional, undeserved, unearned love that God pours upon us, and he gives us that. Now, why am I staying? Why am I camping out there? Because, listen, if you are like me, when you first come to the Lord, you have so many holes in your heart. There's so many things in your life that, man, I brought so much baggage into this church. Oh, Lord Jesus. I want to go back and apologize to all the Christians. You know, I used to walk in church, and I used to walk in with a tank top, and I got tattoos all over my arms. I used to walk in, I'd just be like, and this brother, I'll never forget, Billy Huff, used to always walk over to me and give me, at the old Calvary, they used to have handouts every week that had the words in them. It's before they had like screens written. Here's the words. And he used to walk over and put it next to me. I used to look at him like this. Could I help you? Yeah, man, here's a program called the Calvary Connection. You see me taking it? And then this guy behind the piano used to play this. As soon as he played this little gay flurry on the piano, I know what he's going to do. He's going to stand up and he's going to say, "Hey, I want you to say hello to the person that's here." And I'd be like, "Yeah, that's my chance." Everybody stop touching each other. There's not a seat in this stinking house without somebody next to it. Why do I come to this stupid church? So everybody would stop touching on each other, and I'd sit there, and the music would start to play, and I'd hear those words, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and I have no idea what it meant, but it moved my heart. And I'd sit there, and I'd weep on the inside, and I'd grit on the out. I'd go into my truck and I'd weep, and I don't know why am I such. When did I turn into such a faggot? I don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm being honest with you. I'm being a little real, and I want you to know that if you struggle with the same thing, I'm with you. That is the agape love of God tenderizing your heart, preparing you for every good work. You don't get to this place like overnight. Oh, now I'm saved and I love everybody and... Bible is instructive, it's food, it's what we do to understand. And you know what? If being a faggot is being what I am now, I'll take it, because I love you guys. I'm not afraid to text you and say, "I love you. Steve, I love you. Gerilyn, I love you too. I love you a lot. Craig, I love you. Tamar, I love you, and your sons, I can do without." I'm teasing, I love you guys also. It's such a joke, man. Gotta get some thick skin. You better stop.
Your wife listening?
What does that have to do with it?
I'm not allowed to tell you I love you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love you.
Don't get weird. Verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Ready? Now the instruction part comes. Here's where we start to understand how we are and not supposed to walk. Ready? "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as is fitting for saints." Now, let's go to that word fornication. Now, just so you know, there's a few also words that mean fornication. This is not just sex before marriage, although that should also not be named. It's kind of a weird thing. The Lord knew when we first came to him that was going to be a major struggle. When me and my wife first got saved, we were living together. You think I was going to like get saved and then you see my wife? Yeah, I wasn't going to keep my, I don't keep my hands over now. I ain't going to keep my hands over then. It's not going to happen.
"No, I got saved. I can't touch you."
Not going to happen. And I'm so glad that the Lord knew my weakness. He knows my frame, but I'm dust. But you know what this word means? It means adultery, prostitution, incest. He said, "You know what? Don't sleep with somebody else's spouse. Certainly don't sleep with your family member. And don't go to prostitutes." Now, why was that germane to the time? Was because a temple prostitute back then, there was religions in the day that used temple prostitution as a means of worship. So it was kind of a common thing. "Hi, honey, you going out tonight? You going to play with cardboard?" "No, I'm going to go over to Diana's temple and sleep with one of the prostitutes." "Okay, have a good time." Like, yeah, try that. But that's exactly how it was. That was the culture of the day. And if you think it's so far away from where we are today, you don't think that. You see that's right around the corner. You know you do. And uncleanness. You know what uncleanness is? Uncleanness is what happens when I watch too many old mobster movies. I'll get onto this YouTube rabbit hole and I'll watch scenes from Goodfellas, Casino. I'll watch scenes from Godfather. I'll watch scenes from Scarface. And once I'm like an hour into it, I all of a sudden feel dirty. I'm just like unclean. I'm like, I feel like I gotta take a spiritual shower or something like that. You ever talk to somebody and they're so filthy, you're like, I just feel like I gotta go home and take a shower after having a conversation with you. Don't do that, he says. Now remember, this is to new believers. It's simple. It's not real complicated. Don't mess around with your family. Don't sleep with a prostitute. Don't cheat or be a cheater. Don't be a homewrecker. Okay, can you do that? He gives you little things. Don't do that. You know why? That shouldn't be named in the church, he says here. Continuing. Covetousness. We know what covetousness is. That's when you want what somebody else has to a point of obsession. Let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. Now, I struggle with these guys. I'm just going to be honest with you. Foolish talking, the word for foolish talking, it just means like a babbling idiot. Like somebody who just says stupid stuff all the time so that everybody knows and that person talks, yeah, you're an idiot. He says, stop talking so much. Now, if you know my testimony at all, the first thing that I ever heard clearly the Holy Spirit say to me was shut up. It's the craziest thing. Anytime a couple of brothers got around in a circle, I had to talk. And you could count the words. I was going to say more words than anybody else in that circle. Yeah, but let me explain to you. And I'm sure people were like, oh my goodness, somebody get me away from this dude. Not like now, where everybody loves hanging out with me. Coarse jesting. That word means quick-witted in sensual sense. Let me give you the idea of coarse jesting. That's what she said. That's coarse jesting. That's when you have a quick wit for things of the sensual nature. Oh, yeah, that's what she said. You know what I mean? That guy, that girl, like, yeah, you probably want to let that go too. Yeah, but I like that, man. That movie, that show Office is hilarious, and they always say that. And yeah, but you probably want to let that go. Yeah, but what if I don't? You probably want to, but I don't want to stop. Okay, see how that works. And then you go home, and your wife says to you, did you really say that? I shouldn't have said that, right? Which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Now, he says something interesting here, and again, remember who this is written to, new believer in Christ, first people that are reading the Bible. He wants you to know something, the Apostle Paul who wrote this. He says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. He makes a picture here. He goes, listen, I want you to know, idolaters, that's not people who love God. Idolaters don't go to heaven. And you know what idolaters do? They are fornicators, unclean, and covetous. Now, remember what he said, the first verse of this chapter? What did he say? Anybody read that? Did Sean say, what did he say? Go ahead. Yes, be imitators of God. He's just reiterating what he said in the first verse. Don't imitate idol worshipers. How does people know in the world? How does people, that's not good English, but you guys got it. How does people know in the world that you are a Christian? Do you look different? Do you sound different? And here the Apostle Paul is just saying, listen, you should. Now I know you're new. So I'm just giving you this instruction. Now, I love this about this chapter, guys. Please, I want you to know the language in this chapter is not forceful and domineering. It's quite as a matter of fact, as in like a teacher. Hey, yeah, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Yeah, but this is what I do. You shouldn't do it anymore. Why not? Because you're a Christian now. Huh. Okay. If you are asking yourself, how do I act? You act like Ephesians chapter 5. You do the best you can. Well, I just keep falling short. Yeah, me too. Yeah, but you don't understand. I keep messing up. Yeah, me too. You too? Let me make it easier. Us too. The difference between a Christian and not Christian is the conviction that's felt in their heart when they do screw up. Oh, so you're saying that all Christians screw up? To some extent, however, know this. Depending how far you go in ministry is how holy, God bless you, Johnny, is how holy you want to be. For instance, I say this. I've said this before. My life walks on the edge of a knife. That's what my life is. I don't understand, Ryan. What do you mean? I don't get any chances. Like some of you guys, if you found out your husband kissed another woman, or you found out your wife kissed another man, but immediately they realized, oh, I'm so sorry. Please, I didn't sleep with her. Most of you guys can like, well, we can get over this. We can work with this. You find out that your husband looked at something online. You found out that they spent something. That you found out something terrible. But we can get over it. Not me. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to represent more holy, more truly, more sincerely. I don't get to cuss people out, to beat people up. I can't have a street fight. It just can't happen. Can't happen. My pastor was arrested last week for punching a guy in the face, but it's okay because he'll be in church on Sunday. Yeah, you're laughing too. Hey, listen, I had a little stumble. I met this girl. I didn't really sleep with her, but I kissed her. Not going to happen. I walk on the edge of a knife. I can't have something on my phone. You can't find it. My wife can't find a picture. I can't. Nothing. Zero. No. Now, I'm not saying that's where you got to be. I'm saying that's where you want to be. And I don't want to not be here. I want to be here. You know why? Not for you. Not even for her. Not even for them. Because I really want to be holy before God. I look at what he's done for me. And it's like, this is the least I can do. I love, there's a Bible verse that says, you know, you haven't resisted sin to bloodshed. You haven't bled fighting against your sin yet. He did. You follow me here? So again, this is a very instructive, it's not a, if you're doing any of these things, if like you're fornicating or you're living together or you're gambling or you're drinking or you're partying, you shouldn't be like, oh, I'm such a failure. I'm never coming back to church. No. You'd be like, you know what? I'm going to try tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to delete all these porn sites off my phone. Man, I'm getting rid of that dating app. That stupid Tinder don't do me no. Crap. Hallelujah. I'm with you. You need some help? I'll help you, man. I want to help you. You mean you want to help me? Well, we got brothers in the church and sisters in the church that want to help you on along this walk. And if you're struggling, you don't have to hide it. We were there. Most of us are still there. We just want to help you. Yeah, but I thought if everybody knew that I was like really a sinner, then everybody would kind of like, hey, do me a favor. Don't go to that church where they do that to you. They ain't trying to help you. They're trying to make you like them. You see what it says there? Be imitators of who? Not people. Continuing, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And the Apostle Paul basically just says to him, hey, look, why do you think these people are dying and going to hell? For those very same reasons. Don't do that. That's what he says. Continuing, verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You see that word for fellowship? That's another one of these very famous Christian words that you're going to have to get to know. It means unity, oneness, communion. Now, it doesn't have to be a positive. It can also be a negative. If you have fellowship with light, it's a positive. If you have fellowship with darkness, do you notice, depending on what year you were born or what town you were born, everybody looked alike? When I was growing up, it was the late 70s and early 80s. That was my teen years. And we had a cut-off denim jacket. We had something called a mullet. And on the back of our jacket was our favorite rock band. Mine was Pink Floyd, The Wall. And we all looked alike. And I wore Lee's jeans, not Levi's. And I wore Pro Keds shoes, sneakers, kicks. And all my friends did. And we had these guys in our neighborhood. You know, we used to call them cousines. You know what cousines wore? Bell-bottom pants with shoes. They wore button-down shirts with, like, stupid designs on them. And they had tight, short haircuts. And they drove these cars called IROC. You know what IROC stands for? Italian retard out cruising. I couldn't afford one, so that's why I didn't have one. So I made fun of everybody that could. It's the craziest thing. It's the craziest thing. I have a friend of mine from Brooklyn that moved down here about the same time I did. I saw him a few years ago, and we've been down here. I've been down here more than 20 years. You know what happened? He was wearing a cowboy hat, cowboy boots. He even had a little bowleg hat. What's up, man? How are you doing? I was like, Jimmy, bro, I moved up to Ocala for a few years, man. Got me some country. I mean, I was blown away. The same thing happens if you've ever seen a Boca kid who's been listening to too much Tupac. Straight dog. My dog. I know your mom and dad. They don't talk like that. Crazy thing, huh? You are light in the world. Walk as children in the light and have no fellowship with darkness. Because if you fellowship with darkness, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become dark. And what they're going to do is they're going to make fun of you, my new believer brothers and sisters. They're going to tell you, oh, you got all sissified. Oh, you go to church now? Is that what you do? And there's a verse that says, do not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he was not ashamed of you. Do not be ashamed. It's one of the first things you're going to have to do. Now, some people, it takes a while to get it. Me, it took me about 5 years to get this, to really get sold out for the Lord. And what the Lord had to do in my life to get my attention, I do not suggest you go that route. But sometimes people get saved and they get radically saved, man, and it's the most beautiful thing in the world. I've seen people get healed of pornography, crack addiction, all kinds of wicked, foul filthiness. I've watched God do amazing work, but sometimes, guys, and this is so important, ladies, new believers, he saves you and he leaves you with some stuff, and you're wondering, God, when are you going to deal with this? And he leaves it with you just so you could keep fighting. Like, brothers, the lust of the eyes is never satisfied, and it's not an indicator that Christ is not in your heart. Man, women are just so beautiful, and you're always going to be fighting that. And you'll be driving down the road, and there'll be a girl walking a dog. And say, I just want to look at the dog. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Your brain will trick you, and that's. It's always going to be like that. And it's not an indicator to yourself. You don't beat yourself up over it. And ladies, anger and moodiness and being frustrated and complaining is not an indicator that you don't love the Lord. Go easy on yourselves. Don't beat yourselves up because once a month you're feeling kind of crappy. It's just, it's the curse of women and it's okay. Brothers, give them a break. We're going to talk more about that. Don't worry. Oh, we're going to talk more about that. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For what makes manifest is light. That word manifest literally means to cleanse with sunlight, to open a lid. It's just to expose. And when you expose yourself, I remember last week or Wednesday we had this conversation. It's like, you know what the worst part of being in a little church is? Everybody knows your business. You know what the best part of being in a little church is? Everybody knows your business. Like, you know there's a couple of girls in here that were dancers in a bar? You know there's some dudes in here that were in prison? They were drug addicts. And you know what? Now you know. What are you going to do about it? Everybody knows. I was in prison. Actually, I was in jail. I was in prison. I was in holding. I was in all that stuff. You want to leave? Bye. Everybody knows. What are you going to do? Who are you going to tell? Once it's out in the open, it's out in the open. Isn't that great? No, but then everybody talks about you. So what? So what? Whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly is just a big fancy word for straight and narrow, diligently, purposefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And you could take that word the, and you could write next to it these. These days are evil. Make no mistake about it, my brothers and sisters, as good as things might be in your life right now, I don't care who is the president, whether he's white, black, yellow, brown. This world and this country are run by the devil. And you are walking in evil days, and you are called to be light, making manifest darkness, shining your light. It ain't no easy task. I was talking to Anna last week at the meeting. That poor thing, she loves the Lord so much. She sings such beautiful praise to the Lord. And she's in high school. You want social suicide? You try to be in high school and love the Lord Jesus. High school. Does anybody remember high school? Well, it's worse now. Sister, you got my prayers. I think about you often. Pray for you always. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Wow. Verse 17. See, this is the idea. New believers, your whole life is just trying to find out what the Lord wants from you. What does God want me to do? That's it. That's it. That's all. That's it. I don't care whether you're rich, poor, whatever state you're in. Are you doing what you've been called to do? How many of you here, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you want to, you can. Absolutely, positively know they're doing exactly what God wants them to do. I know it. They know doubt about it. He's called me to do this. He's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and that's me, a fool, doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. That word for dissipation, again, you could circle it, and you could write extravagant, squandering, frivolous. He says, don't be drunk with wine, because when you're drunk, you spend more than you got. You give away more than you have. And you wind up owing. He's just talking to new believers here. He's just trying to get you guys straight. He says, do you sit first? Stop drinking too. That stuff is going to kill you. That's basically what the apostle's saying here. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's an interesting phrase there, that last part, and I'm sorry we're going long. I'm almost finished, I promise you. But new believers, be filled with the Spirit. That word in the Greek language is what's called an infinite participle, which means it's an ongoing. It is, the proper translation is, be ye being filled. Be ye being filled. That means always be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. How do you get filled with the Spirit? Prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship, Super important to let the Spirit fill you. What gets rid of the Spirit? Watching too many stupid YouTube videos, listening to crappy music, not going to church, getting into fights and arguments and hassles. That boom, sucks the Spirit right out of you. Well, what puts the Spirit back in you? Reading the Word, worshiping, fellowshipping, talking about the things of the Lord. He says, I want you to be ye being filled. Keep on being filled. Speaking to one another, here's where we finish. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You see that word submitting? Circle it. You go right next to it. Subjecting yourself under. Close your Bible. Subjecting yourself under. You know what the secret to get along? If you are one of those people like me who could not get along with anybody, I could get along with nobody. Even within the framework of the church, when I first got saved, I thought there was a test. Every time people got in a circle, we wanted to find out who knew the Bible more, who knew more verses, who was more spiritual in this circle, and we talk. Yeah? Well, I read something this morning, and it was 1 John 1:9. If you confess your trespass, and all of a sudden, and everybody would wait, again. Who would establish themselves as the most spiritual? There they are. Let's all submit to him. It's a crazy thing we do. Even in the church, we do that silly thing. Well, who's tougher? Who's stronger? That's what I love about jiu-jitsu. To be a black belt is to be a white belt. It's to roll with everybody. It's to only want to see other people get better at jiu-jitsu, not to dominate people. And that's how it is in Christianity. If you want to be a black belt in Christianity, subject yourselves to everybody. Submit under everybody. Be the one who serves everybody. Be the first guy to pick up the broom and the dustpan. Be the first guy to offer to move, to help a ride. Indeed, my brother. You see, the way up is down, and the way down is up. And if you are like me, and when you came to the Lord, you had trouble making friends because there was always that struggle. Start submitting to everybody and don't care who's above you. And watch, after a couple of years, man, you're going to like everybody. It's the craziest thing. God fills your heart with the agape love. And you could look at somebody and say, I love you. I hope you're doing okay. It's the greatest thing in the world. Anyway, starting next week, wives, submit to your husbands. That's like my favorite verse. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word and ask you to bless our hearts to know the transforming power of your love, God, to help us to get this message. And I do pray if there's any new believers here, any people who are just starting to get to know the word of God, that these verses would help them not to feel down on themselves, nor to be filled with the conviction of men, but the love of God, because I pray over them your word, Lord Jesus, that says it's your kindness that leads to repentance. Thank you for being so kind to me and allowing me to repent over and over again. Love you, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen.